Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Good morning, sunshine. Ba 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 ba. Da, 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 da. It's the only part of the song I knew. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. That's a new way to open the show, right? Well, it's part two of the Graham Elwood episode, and next week we'll be back from Montreal having a good time at the Montreal Comedy Festival. Here in the good old land of Montreal, Canada. Does that make any sense? Does it? How's everything going? Well, here we go. This is the show today. Very excited to get back next week. We're going to have a... Ooh, it's going to be fun. 1 week I go and I feel like it's been ages. I feel like I'm coming back after a month hiatus. Well, it's good to be back, everybody. What a month off I had. 7 days, that's all it is. It seems longer, though. It seems longer. Alrighty. Every single night, there's been so many people from the podcast coming to the show, except for last night, which was Wednesday night, there was one guy. And if you're listening, thank you. Email me. I'll send you something nice. Anybody here from the podcast?
I am.
Who you with?
My dad.
Seemed like a nice father-son outing. Seem like good people. And by the way, if you're listening, you're like, yeah, that's me. That's right. And afterwards, the guy's dad tried to sell me pot. I thought that was very rude. All right, I'm just rambling now. All righty. You know what I did? I put the lock on my phone. It's a pain in the ass. Someone said, oh, you should have a lock on your phone. I get it. They're right. If somebody finds it, they can't get in, but seems like unlocking your phone I just can't take it. You're supposed to make lemonade out of lemons, but it's just very hard sometimes. Alrighty. You have fun. And follow all my instructions for life. You hear me? Yeah, that's right. Take a chair and break it. Is that what you think I represent? Because it isn't. I was not proud of myself, and I don't want you breaking anything either. It's no way to go through life, breaking things. All righty. Enjoy the show, and by the way, I know I answer emails, but I don't always answer tweets. But when you tweet that you like the show, it really does help me. And even though, you know, you shouldn't pay attention, you should just do what you want and then the audience will come. Just do what you want. Have fun. Just like when you're hanging out with your friends, you don't worry ever. But that's what I do. That's what we do on the podcast. But that doesn't negate that if you just tweet, if it wasn't your favorite week, maybe you're a big fan of the show, but that wasn't your favorite week. I'm not asking you to do it. But if it was, let me know. Tweet something. It can be simple. It can be love the show. Something easy. It helps. I read them. I see them. I do. And it lets us know. Oh, they like when we do that. Now, what if you don't like when we do it? I'm still going to do it, but I like to know you like it. And then I'll do it more. That's right. Is that asking for too much? Maybe you could tweet at Carl's Jr. Who did the Pop-Tarts thing? Is it Carl's Jr.? Wouldn't it be funny if we did some research and found out the guy that came up with that idea as a podcast listener? That would be horrible.
Okay. Enjoy the show, everybody.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We're here with Graham Elwood. Look at this. Where's the bubbles?
Oh, that bubble machine's amazing.
Shut up.
Please point it right at your face.
That means fade it out. You can use this to fade it out, too. I'm sitting here. No. What are you going to do with this bubble machine that I can't?
Probably make it work.
No, I don't want to. I don't want you to make it work because you can't.
Point it right at your face.
Go ahead. You try it. Move it away from your... Shut the fuck
Aristotle
up.
Aristotle did it effortlessly. Effortlessly.
He took the gun, he pulled it in, and bubbles came out.
Yeah.
How come? What did you do? Was that just a coincidence? You motherfucker.
Oh, that was great. You're like, what? You can't do it right. And then he does it right.
By the way, I love that I'm holding a gun and bubbles are coming out of it. And I go, you motherfucker.
Yeah, you jerks.
Can I tell you the truth? Now, people, you're going to have to make pretend here. But this is theater of the mind. I swear to God. To George Carlin. We were talking about the gun thing the last show. And I thought, okay, we'll come back. It's a week later. And I thought of a bit. What if this is what you carried around to protect yourself?
Yeah, a bubble gun.
A bubble gun. So people like come up to you. What would you do? If, like, you know, you're at the ATM. Now, picture this is a bubble gun. When I pull the trigger, you got to understand in your head, bubbles come out, a lot of them. It floods out with bubbles. So maybe you at the ATM machine, what do you, like, if you're holding me up and I pull this out from, like, I have a special holster for it.
Right.
You do the obligatory here. Where's your, you know, give me
your gun. Give me your wallet.
Listen, you motherfucker.
It's beginning to seem a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, we don't have to argue. I'll give you money and you'll like my bubbles.
You know what? Can I borrow $5?
Sure, you can borrow. You know what? I'll give you $25. You run out of it quicker than you think. And I'm squirting bubbles at you. Why am I doing visual on the podcast?
Because it's adorable.
Thank you. Let's put this gun away. We have serious business to get to.
Don't get Graham on another gun tirade.
You know what? It's all good. It's going to be fun to listen. Like I say, you know what? You're going to get to hear this in so many years and be proud of your stance, or you'll be mortified. If you know what, but you won't be.
No, that won't happen.
Anyway, so this guy we played before. He's like play the short version of him don't play it, don't play it. So we've played a little clip of this guy. He's singing in choir. And what I like to say is I don't like to make fun of somebody, I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, that has all their faculties. If someone has all their faculties and they're just a horrible singer, there was one guy I played and someone said he might not have, and then I don't play it anymore. But this guy has all his faculties. And even though when I watched that show, where they have to tell people, you know, Simon, and he would – even if someone can't sing, I am home thinking, oh, who has to tell them? It just would suck. Even if someone is but never not negating that I still think that. I'm like, if this isn't a bit, this person's that bad of a singer. It's so funny that I'm talking about this, but I'm not going auditioning for the American for American Idol or so. And they get in front of them, and they're just, you could tell they're not that good of an actor. Like, this person really thinks they could sing, and you're like, what is that delusion? Like, how does that? Do you ever wonder that when you watch the? And this person here is the same thing. Like, when I played it on the show last week, we just heard the edited version of the guy singing really bad. Then last week, Young Jake says, oh, let's listen to the beginning. So he's at somewhere, like, in front of a group of people telling the backstory. You think he's probably going to be able to sing. Play the long version. It's worth listening to.
Well, this next and final song is going to be one that has made me pretty famous over the last few years. It has took me a lot of places I didn't think I would be at.
It just means within the community and his friends. I get it.
But it was the first time on stage, New Year's Eve 2002. With one of the best quartets out there today, Brian Free and Assurance. And I was privileged to be able to sing this one with Brian Free. And I don't know if I beat him that night or not, but ever since then, we've had competitions. I've wore him out.
Pause it down here. So we know one thing for sure. He was in a competition. He thinks he beat the other guy. He's at worst okay.
Not to make me look good or anything, but that's what happened. But this is one that also my friends at my hometown church, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Salisbury, North Carolina, has really made their top choice. So therefore, we're going to finish off with this one. It's called Looking for a City. Looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die.
Swear to God.
Where
to George Carlin.
This ain't in millions. Never say goodbye.
Pause it.
What?
Okay, let it play a little longer before we. I want to talk about it. But while we're letting it play, picture. I like to picture this. They're at church. They're probably all, you know, oh, this is great, or acting. No, you know what? Even at church, these people are mortified. Picture 300 people staring with their mouth open, and literally drool starts coming out of their mouth. That's how, like, dumbfounded they are. Picture that. 300 people. Okay. He's singing.
There we'll meet our Savior, and our love was you. Come, our Holy Spirit.
Pause it. I'm going to tell you a story. You tell me if it's true or not. I'm going to tell you it's a true story, but it's either a lie or it's true. But I'm going to sell it real. This is true. Could be a lie. That night when he sang that song, he got arrested because they felt it was the equivalent to molesting the audience and raping them. Now, is that true or not? First, listen to more of it.
For our homes renewed, looking for a city.
The look on your face is so priceless because you look literally like, because I'll tell you why. You're a half sane person. You think this is real. It's real. You heard the guy talking and they're in an audience and people are probably being extremely polite as they should be. But you're looking like this happened is the look on your face.
It almost is like, did somebody use that, you know, the software, you know, like for the chipmunk's voice or something like that. Like, honestly, that's what popped in my mind. Like, oh, this has been altered. Like, somebody put that.
And our love was come, our Holy Spirit, our homes renew, before a city.
Is this now? What do you think? Do you think that's true? What I might have said?
Yeah.
Now here's the jury. If we go back to the jury, like I wanted the audience. I want him arrested for, you know, basically the equivalent of
assault.
Of assault. And the jury looks undecided. I go, all right, play a little more.
We'll meet our Savior, and our love was you. Come, Holy Spirit.
You know what? It's almost it's to the point now where it's bad annoying.
It's like,
was it ever good annoying? I ask my listeners, email me, tweet me, hello girls.
Hello, girls. You know,
that's... What do you think? Is it good?
And you just, you don't want to be mean. You don't want to be mean because this guy so believes what he's doing.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't.
We should. I think God bless him.
Can I tell you something?
What?
You're going to love me. We both think alike. Instead of making fun of him, I had Jingle Joe, because we make song parodies of some pretty big songs on this show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yours was Earth Angel.
Yeah.
Right? Your song that we did for you, Earth Angel. Graham. That was a parody of that. So I had Jingle Joe make a parody of his song. To be nice, to show him respect. Looking for a podcast, only number one. Here at Black Horse Motors, Todd is having fun, playing on the jingles, getting that silly too. There at the Douglas Show, all your dreams come true. I'm sorry. Let me play a little more. In honor of him, instead of making fun of him,
it's a celebration.
A celebration. Graham, I got bad news.
What's up,
Justin? You know the guy who sings the song at church?
Yeah.
He's not here tonight. Well, okay, change the bit. He's here, but he has laryngitis.
Oh, what are we gonna do?
Well, I need you to go on the back mic and do an impersonation.
Sure, of
course. He'll just go out and move his mouth.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm in the mood to make you do this. Put some reverb. Okay. Hi, everybody. No, because he had laryngitis. He wouldn't be able to sing. Forget the bit. We're done. Make you do this. Keep playing. All right, enough.
Jingle Joe's voice is better.
What?
Jingle Joe's voice is better. I'm so sorry, kid. I'm so sorry.
You're right. It's better. I just snorted.
It's better.
You're the first person. Let's celebrate this. I know you might think I'm going the opposite way, but to George Carlin, I'm serious. When you snort, something happens, because the look in your face was like, you realized Jingle Joe's voice is better. And then here's where I know you genuinely... You sort it. You're going, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be mean, you kid.
I don't want to be mean.
I hope your church group loves you.
I hope you do.
God loves you. We're all God's children.
I hope every time you sing.
Even a whack job gun nut is still God's children.
Thank you. And I hope that every time he sings that he will never know. And I mean this to George Carlin. I hope he will never know how bad he is. But now we can talk about the truth. He's not here. Oh, my God. Play the original, just the part where he starts singing horrible.
What?
Looking for a city where I'll never die.
Jingle Joe is better. Jingle Joe is better.
Hold on, play Jingle Joe now. Play Jingle Joe. Can I tell you something, Graham? I never realized how right you are.
Jingle Joe.
To George Carlin. I thought that no, somebody did now fuck with the pitch on it because it didn't sound that bad before. Because we just heard Jingle Joe.
Yeah.
So Jingle Joe, like, play Jingle Joe.
Looking for a podcast.
Now, play him.
Looking for a city where I'll never die.
Folks, pause it. I am sorry to do this to you for the listening audience, but is...
Jingle Joe's better.
Jingle Joe. Play Jingle Joe again. I want to be fair.
Oh, that's not bad.
By the way, it's funny if you picture him playing the piano like real sloppy, just his hands flapping all over the place.
Right.
Like he doesn't put a lot of thought into it. He misses keys a lot. Here, go ahead.
Looking for a city.
Turn it off.
It
makes me mad. Let's call him. You want to get him on the phone?
Sure.
Should we? Oh my God! Do we have our phone hooked up? Let's call him. Let's give him a call. Try to make your voice sound like a phone. Do we have anything? What the hell's that? I wonder why. You must hold on. Let's guess the game. Rainy Night came up. I love a rainy night, but he was YouTubing. You have anything? Yeah. It's okay if you don't. Okay, let's call him. You know, let's just use the... Here we go. Oh, we actually got him on the phone. Hold on. Hello?
Hello! Hello! Who's calling? I'm answering my phone! I wanna know what's
I wanna do the bit right.
All right.
You just wasted no time. Like, of course that's how he answers.
Of course that's how he answers.
Let's call him back. All right. I shouldn't have. Let's do it right.
Hello, I'm Todd from the Todd Glass Show.
Hello!
Oh, hi, how you doing?
I'm good! How are you?
Yeah, now, first of all, we play your song on the show, and we heard you heard about it.
Yes! So nice!
We just wanted to let you know we don't play it. We're more just laughing at the campiness of the song, and it's just such a... But we don't mean...
Well, we play this song when we go camping. It's great.
Well, and how long have you been singing?
My whole life.
And you sing... where are you listening to? When we're listening to you on that... the piece of music we're playing, where are you performing at?
Oh, I'm at a church function.
And they came in to see you play?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Sing.
Yeah, I don't like to brag. I sell out.
Well, and how long have you been singing, you said?
Oh, a lot of years. So many, I lost track.
Besides singing in the church, do you sing at other places?
Yes.
Where at?
State fairs.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Are you married? Or do you have your kids? Or just find a little bit of your backstory.
Yeah, I have a wife.
That's nice. And what does she do?
She plays the piano.
Oh, that's her playing the piano in the
background?
Yeah. Okay. Well, can you put your wife on the phone?
Sure. Okay. Honey?
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Is this your... Oh, but get your wife.
Oh, this is.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
What is your name?
Geraldine.
Oh, hi, Geraldine. And now you play the piano. Is that you in the background?
Yes.
How many kids do you have?
Oh, we have three.
Do you mind putting one? Can we talk to one of your kids? What are your kids' names?
Oh, Rickard.
Can you get Rickard to the phone? How old's Rickard?
Rickard is our oldest. He's 12.
Okay, can I talk to him?
Sure, Rickard!
Hey, Rickard? Hi, it's Todd Glass from the Todd Glass Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I got a treat for you. I got a treat, seriously. The song.
Looking for a city where I'll never die.
You know what? I figured out the problem. We're being disrespectful to the song. It's nice in the background.
It is. It's good background.
Listen, they pretend we're just on it, like, we're just hanging out at the house and we want it. Like, some people play Sinatra. Maybe that's what it is. We're looking to pick on it.
Yeah. How about just enjoy it for what it is? It's art.
Yeah, hold on. Okay, it's Sunday. Want a picture of the Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday, you know, you're making coffee. You like to play Sinatra. Some people play Sinatra.
I'm reading the Sunday paper.
Do you have Sinatra? Do you have something by Sinatra? Play that.
I'm reading an op-ed piece.
Well, not this. Play the real Sinatra. And Sunday morning. Could you picture this?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? You wake up, you make coffee, you put a little Sinatra on?
Yeah, I'm reading the art section of the Sunday paper.
And you got it in the background. It's almost you have it playing in the bedroom, and you hear it in the distance.
That's right.
All right, so if you can enjoy this, then why couldn't we enjoy the other guy? Picture the same exact thing.
Oh.
See?
Nice hot cup of coffee. Got the newspaper.
Okay, really, may pretend it's in the other, like, three rooms away.
Okay.
You hear it in the background. It's the type of, it's too close, it's too much.
Sure.
You just, hold on. Okay, now listen. Listen.
All right, got the art section. Yeah, reading the newspaper.
red. For our homes renewed.
My homes renewed.
Imagine if this fucking guy's your neighbor.
Oh,
Jesus. Well, let's put it through the house. It'll sound like it's the neighbor coming through the neighbor's house. He moved in. You know the guy with the...
Hold on. Why isn't this loud?
The guy with the kid with the trumpet, he's away for 2 months and they leased their house to this guy. I can't even do the podcast anymore. What do you do?
Todd, I can't be a guest on your show anymore.
I'm sorry, Graham.
Todd, I can't hear what I'm saying.
I don't know what to do. You're right, and it's killing me, and I don't want to say anything. He sings all day long.
I can't. Well, just...
I don't know what to do, Graham.
Well, you shouldn't have booked him as your guest for the podcast festival.
No, don't be silly. I didn't do... You make it worse.
I make it worse.
Bad enough he lives next to me. Oh. Now you got to make people think I'm going to have...
Does the song ever end?
Do you want to go talk to him? Do you promise you'll be nice?
I mean, what am I going to... What do I say to him?
Shut the studio door. Go over. Oh, it's right that door right there that Aristotle just shut.
Okay.
Now I don't get the fresh air in here. You make this motherfucking bit work, Todd. There's a door, or whatever I need to happen, I'm going to fucking create it right now. Just go with me, everybody. There's got to be a door. Why wouldn't it have been shut before? So then I got to fix that. There's a lot of fixing you got to do to get a bit to go in the right direction. But you do it, and then you have fun, and that's what we do as an audience. So shut the door. That's why you heard the music. Just stop. So now you're going to go over, and you're going to talk. Open the door, go in and talk to him. But you promise you're going to be nice.
Yeah, I'm going to be nice.
All right, cool. Thank you. Go ahead over there.
Okay.
We left Graham's mic. There's a mic in there, so we'll be able to hear him. He's in the other room. He's in there doing something.
Hey, I'm a friend of Todd's. And
yeah, hi! Yeah, he sings all the time. I heard Todd likes it.
I think he does it in like smaller doses. Do you know what I mean? Not all the time. It's kind of...
Okay, give it a break is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe breast your throat a little bit. Have some
hot tea. What? My singing coach told me that too.
Oh, let's do what your singing coach said.
Thousands of dollars a year to sound like that. Anyway, well, thanks. I'll sing you. Okay, bye.
Looking for a...
I don't know. The bit's over. Put move on. Play that. It's fun, though. It's all right. You stop a bit. That's what's the hardest thing for sketch shows. When sometimes bits... I don't think that bit... I don't look at it like, ugh. That bit was fucking funny. It's just the ending wasn't the
It didn't have a big bow on
it. And you know what? There's no crime in that. You know why? Because we stopped it.
You stop
when you're stuck on a sketch show, like, you know, SNL at its best. Hey, by the way, this is not making fun of those guys. A lot of them over there, they're stuck in a format that it's... You can't get out of it. Just...
Right.
They know when they're like, fuck. You know when you watch, sometimes you watch sketches on that show and, well, sometimes they're funny from start to finish.
Right.
Other times you're like, they're fucking funny. But the ending wasn't where it was at. But what can you do? That's why I would never have a sketch show unless there was a formula where we could chop and go, yeah, garage door shuts, boom. That's where it was funny. End it, boom. I swear to God, almost like I'd rather have a throwback to like where you can just get in and out. You
like laughing.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a modern laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Obviously.
I know. Hey, look, when you say modern, I know exactly right. What you mean, and so does anybody listening that gets it. It's like, not that you don't get it, but you get it, and you don't get it. But yeah, you can be. Let me explain something. If Mitch Hedberg was alive today, he'd have a home on the modern laughing, because we do a thing where you open the door, you say a comment, you shut it.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, could laughing howls? It was a great vehicle for one-liners. So today, there'd be a lot of comedians that you'd be like, you knew them because on the show. That they would just be part of the doors opening and closing.
It would be that, and you would have
Other people could do sketch.
Yeah, you do long form sketches.
You do it all.
You could do a little monologue stuff. I don't know that you'd have the crazy 60s dancing or whatever, but you could do a version of that.
There could be the inappropriate guy that sits next to you on a park bench bit you do with a million guests, and he comes over. It's a running bit, but it's 8 seconds.
Right.
It's an interstitial. You come out of commercial, and now an eight. So if you could do that as a sketch show, that'd certainly be, for me, a lot easier. Than being, does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Of course it makes sense. I make sense. I make a lot of sense. Every week I come in here and I make sense.
This is John F. Kennedy, and I'm here to declare that today and every day henceforth is National Todd Glass Show Day.
Oh, my God.
This is me saying it, John F. Kennedy. I'm definitely...
I'm not going on it. People, they can. Graham acted like he believed it. It was so great. His face was like, oh my God. Like he was proud of me.
Todd,
that's a big deal.
I've known you for a long time. That's a big deal. When a president that's been dead for 50 years gives you a thing, that's. Nobody just gets that. You know, it makes me like, Todd Glass won the thing.
Not dead. I'm definitely not dead. Oh, I'm very much alive.
Oh, well, he said.
That's my fault.
But if you're alive and you need to listen to the Todd Glass Show, we've got Daniel Keno. No, he's always keeping Todd on track, asking great interviewing questions. Chris Burden. Chris Burden, what can we say about Chris Burden?
By the way,
Burden?
No one's here anymore.
At his timing with the jingles. Nobody knows how to operate jingles better than Chris.
So, I haven't seen Daniel Keno forever. He's been doing shows overseas, I think.
He was for a little while. He was in
Malaysia.
Malaysia. We went to Amsterdam together.
Oh, cool. Because doesn't his girlfriend live in Malaysia or something like that?
She did, yes. She got hit by a trolley.
Oh, really?
Yash. Let's take a call. We never take calls. Go ahead. Caller?
Yeah, this message is for Todd
Glass.
Oh,
no, this is a message we're playing.
Yeah, Todd Glass, I'm real sick of your bullshit running around Hollywood telling everybody, hey, I'm Jerry Seinfeld. This is what Jerry Seinfeld sounds like.
Okay, pause it. We're not playing. We're obviously not taking a call. This is a message that somebody left on the machine. It's Jerry Seinfeld calling in. Be honest. When I do him, I feel like I sound like him a little.
Hey, this is Jerry Seinfeld. Hi.
Doesn't that sound like this guy on the phone that is Jerry Seinfeld mad at me? Or play Jerry Seinfeld's message. This is him calling me, I swear to God.
That's not what I sound like. This is the real Jerry Seinfeld, and I don't appreciate it very much. You don't even get my voice even close.
Pause it.
You don't even get my voice close.
Yes, I do. Play him again. Play Jerry. Play the real Jerry.
Do you know who I am? I'm Jerry motherfucking Seinfeld. Ooh. You better watch out, Todd, because I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you in a real hard way.
All right.
So just watch your back, Todd. And don't defame me all over Hollywood anymore, you son of a bitch.
I put it off. He sounds...
Hello? Don't defame me all over Hollywood, you son of a bitch.
That doesn't sound like him?
I thought it was the same guy.
I'm so sick. I'm sick and tired. I really commit to the bit. I'm so sick and tired of what, a fake bit?
What are you sick and tired of?
I'm so sick and tired I can't take it anymore.
I'm sick and tired of the thing that I created.
Guy drives a goddamn Crown Vic. Don't get Graham started.
Oh, here we go. The whole audience is
I hope there's people listening from last week's show that went, here's my wish, and people go, Todd's fucking right. I never thought about that.
We were talking on the break. So I posted something on my Facebook page, and someone said my 85-year-old grandmother was.
I love that we both can't help ourselves. This is what's fun about this show. Tell that story about the people when they think they got you.
She goes. My 85-year-old grandmother was robbed. Someone came in her house and robbed her at gunpoint.
I'm not laughing at the robbed at gunpoint. I'm just laughing at her getting robbed.
Right. And now my grandmother sleeps with a gun at her bed, and I feel safe, and I feel safe that. You know, my husband has a gun to protect us. Now, her husband is a soldier. I know this couple. They're cool people. They're fans of mine. So I write back. I would be terrified knowing my 85-year-old grandmother with no weapons training, bad eyesight, and diminished hearing had a gun. I do agree with you that if I was living with, if my spouse was either a soldier or a police officer with training, I'd be okay with that. If every gun owner had to go through like a 12 to 16 week boot camp, classroom, law, all that stuff, ethics, okay, I'm all for it. But just some.
But I what I loved about that story when you told it to me is it's very, and by the way, it's like, it's so like pulling on the heartstrings, like, hey, how could you argue with that? And I'll tell you what I told Graham during the break is that, and I know this is just one person, but it represents other people that tell mm-hmm. that story. You're supposed to be quiet. My grandmother, you can't. What are you going to do? Should my grandmother die? No. I'm just telling you. Like, they think they got you cornered. Like, no. Should my I live, and by the way, this is what you could do. I sometimes I feel when I'm home by myself, sometimes I have just a feeling of I'm getting out of the car. You just feel just a peaceful feeling. It never has anything to do with really what's going on in the universe. It's just sometimes I get spooked getting out of my car. When I'm not, I get in the house. I don't turn the alarm on. I lock the front door and I go in my bedroom, the hallway to the bedroom, and I just go to bed. If I'm feeling a little spooked, I deadbolt the front door, turn the alarm on. It's not a big deal. I'm not acting mm-hmm. like I'm some, mm-hmm. you know, a fucking, you know, the president of the United States. But then I lock my hallway door. Mm-hmm. I lock my bedroom door. You know what? I feel pretty safe because you go, yeah, they got to get in through the front door, get through the chain, get through the hallway door, and then through my bedroom door. So before there's someone standing over me, I could dial 911. So that's what you'd want to do with your grandmother and have a panic button.
Right.
But you're supposed to go, oh, I guess it's your grandmother. I don't want to be. I'm not against grandmother's living. Are you against grandmother's living?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm writing you this letter. Oh, I'm sorry, Graham. What's Graham going to say to this? Are you opposed to grandmother's living? No. You know what your grandmother should have? Pepper spray and a dildo. And fucking pepper spray that motherfucker and then hit him over the head with the dildo and then run like a motherfucker.
I would be scared to go to my grandmother's house that she would shoot me. Nana, it's Graham. Who is it? It's Graham. Who is it? Nana. Bam. Like, I would be scared of that, which is how so many gun deaths happen. You're not stopping burglars. You're shooting people you know. And the reason I have a samurai sword is because I train to be.
Sorry.
I train to be a warrior for peace. If every gun owner goes on a spiritual path of Zen Buddhism, the word samurai means to serve. I'm okay with that.
Is this your... Someone told me this is your band. Or is it your mom's band or somebody in your family?
You're the lady that I love.
Is that your mom?
Yeah, that's my mom.
You're the lady.
You serious?
You're the lady that I love.
Who's the guy?
That's her boyfriend.
You're the little lady.
How do they still tour?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hold on, pause this. I gotta admit, I love this.
Yeah.
Well, it's campy and everything, but it's. So this is your mom in the background? She has a very. Look, this is not the type of music I would buy.
Right.
But it's. I appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah,
is it? What do you call it?
Probably backyard bumble-roo.
I love your touch.
Yeah.
So much. I love your eyes.
That's
this
very
was.
Nice.
This is when I would have wanted to been alive when this was on the radio.
Right.
You know, they always tell you about all the music from the past, how good it was. Yeah, we're talking about the good music, the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or Johnny Cash or Willie Nelson. But there was a lot of shit back then, too. This was played, too, probably. For all I know, this is from a play. I'm so wrong. Who cares? What do I need facts for? Hey, what play is it for? Even if it's from a play, guess what? This play sucks. Even though I like the song, actually. Oddly, ironically.
This is
to my mom. I'm not joking around.
I love your face.
In the right
she's like,
place.
And she wanted to play this.
Play to that.
That's very
she was
kind.
Like, she's like, Todd, we're playing this at your wedding. Oh, mom, we already have a band. No, well, we'll play it. We'll play when you're.
Oh.
Mom, we got a band. It's
my mom wants to sing this at my wedding.
Yeah, she wants to sing this at your wedding, but you're like, mom, but. Let's say you're like you're even crazy famous. You get crazy famous.
Oh,
you're like, Mom, I'm friends with Coldplay. They're gonna play at my wedding, and that's who's gonna play. Like, and then.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you. This has been a very special night.
I'm glad you could all be here, and we wanted to do something a little special. My mom and my stepdad wanted to sing a song, so let's not play it through the headsets. Play it just through the headsets. No. We can just
play through the house.
By the way, this is not me talking. This is Todd.
Okay.
Now I'm back to the bit. So my mom would like to sing a song, and my stepdad. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Jambaroos.
You're the lady that I love.
I'm the lady, the lady.
I know. Don't put it. Can you not put it through the headsets? It really?
It has to go through here.
Oh.
What
okay,
is it?
Let's put it through the board. Put it through the house too, because it sounds more real.
Right.
It sounds more real. Watch.
All right, so my mom wanted to do a song, and I want to thank you all for coming out. This has been a wonderful night, and just my mom and my stepdad.
Why do I say stepdad, you wonder? Do you know why? Tell me, even in the bit, why?
Why in the bit?
Why do I have to say stepdad?
Why you got to say stepdad? Because he got your mom into this singing group. Like, before then, she, you know, she, like, did arts and crafts and was the mom you grew up with, and now... Your mom's like, "We're going on the road, honey," and you're like, "Mom, you're 77. Like, what?"
She, by the way, 70.
She's 70.
How dare you crank her up there? What do you think?
You know what I mean?
She's 69, actually.
Right, and then, so
no, she's 70.
The stepdad is
she
like,
looks 69.
He's like, "We're getting a van, and we're going on the road." Like, what?
Ooh, gross!
What are you guys doing?
They get a, why do you have to make him get a van?
You're
really
70 years old. Let them just...
What do they do? I don't. You shouldn't even ask you. Don't exaggerate it. Whatever you do, what goes on in the van, but be real about it. Don't exaggerate.
Well, they say it's like... He's just,
what do they do? My mom's on the road. They're in a van. So what do they do? Like they...
Oh, well, you know, they write songs and they just dirty, greasy, doggy style, oil up, ass slapping, crazy times. And then you hear them singing this song. So they park in your driveway, and they're playing this song. She's singing when she's getting just rocked, just thrown down. So you got to hear your mom getting tooled by your stepdad while singing this. And that is all of the if I was the director of this film, that's what I'd say. You actor, that's what I want behind the word stepdad. All those images pop in your head when you go, my mom and my stepdad. Like, he has corrupted her.
We're gonna go through. Anyway, I want to thank you all so much for coming out tonight. This has been
Free Bird.
There you go, Grandma, ladies and gentlemen. Because you're at my wedding, I throw you a shout out.
I actually
forget the podcast festival.
You made me promise to plug it. You before I went up to make my speech. Is this my wedding? Yeah, this is my wedding. Yeah. You go plug. Can you plug the podcast festival? Come on.
Just plug it. Just LA Podcast.
Right,
just say
right.
LAPodcast.com.
Okay.
You got a lot of people.
So anyway, I want to thank you. And don't forget the LA Podcast Festival this year with Graham Elwood. And
October 4th.
October 4th. Oh, come on. October 4th through the 7th.
Six.
God. Hi, congrats, everybody.
This is another one of our bits where no one's supposed to hear us. Yeah. This dysfunctional relationship.
The worst.
Okay, so
I'm the worst. By the way, I'm the worst friend.
December 6th through the 12th. October
4th through the
6th. October 14th through the
16th. 4th?
4th through the 6th. December. October. October 4th through the 6th. October 4th through the 6th. So anyway, I wanted to thank you for coming.
LAPodfest.com.
LAPodcast.com. Okay. So I want to thank you guys for coming out here.
Buy a Palm Strike shirt. I'm selling merch.
Graham has a merch table set up in the hallway. It's Palm Strike, but in the hand is a picture of me and my lovely wife to be.
Yeah, it's a
Samantha.
So in this bit, you're
I'm
straight.
Getting married to, oh yeah.
Oh
well, I'm used to doing it that way.
Okay.
In fake life that I had, it is true that I do think that way because. You know, there's a big difference between being open-minded that relationships are made up of any two people that love each other and be evolved enough to know that two people love each other. There, that's how simple it is. To then what happens is, but I grew up in a very, you know, more of a traditional.
Sure.
So I always think that way because, you know, it's funny. One week we were doing a bit and we were a couple. And then I think somebody goes like, we'll be a two-guy couple. And I was really like, oh, yeah, why not? Because instead I play a woman because I'm used to doing that. This all makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
What do you fucking get? You don't get shit, Graham.
I tell you what I get.
No, I'm sorry. That was disrespectful.
I tell you that there is merchandise in the lobby.
And by the way, now I go on with my speech, but you give me a look. No one will know anything, but they'll know when you're staring me down. You're holding up a goddamn napkin that you wrote T-shirts. And I'm trying to plow past you because I already fucking plugged your goddamn podcast and festival and my goddamn mom and my goddamn stepdad want to fucking sing at my wedding. And I have to do it because you know why? God forbid something would happen to my mom. Right. I love her to death. And I'll think, really? I couldn't have given 3 minutes to let her sing at a wedding. And anybody there that can't enjoy it for 3 minutes, then we go back to the band. We got a DJ. Right. If you can't
wanted to have a small wedding, but you're like your mom wanted a big one, so you're gonna do it for your mom. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you were just gonna have a little quick little service, and like mom's like, you gotta have a big wedding, Todd.
So anyway, I just wanted to thank you all for coming out and we talked about the podcast festival, and Graham selling T-shirts.
You didn't have to mention that.
How'd you get a microphone? Graham selling T-shirts in the lobby. They're palm strike.
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't even realize. If you want me to for your wedding, then sure.
You didn't realize it. There's a table out there with a fucking guy with a change clicker on his belt.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make it seem like, well, Todd wanted me to set up the table, whatever he wants for his wedding. I was like, Todd, are you sure?
Not only did you fucking sell merch at my wedding, you put something on everybody's table in front of everybody's plate that's like a T-shirt, a Frisbee, and a few other things wrapped up with some twine. And it says, if you don't want to buy merchandise to help children, just give it back on your way out. So
so I'm lying. It's a filthy scam.
Well, and then, but no, you do give some of the money, some but who knows how much. And then people feel bad to walk out and go, here, we don't want it. So, but if they keep it, someone comes around and charges them. So they go, hey, would you like to buy the merchandise here to help children? You have to go, no, you don't. Oh, you don't want to help children? And that's the guy collected the money from you. He knows what he's doing. It's an
the
art.
Worst.
You don't want to help the children? They're like, I don't want the shirt. You don't want to help the children.
Oh, so you don't
have to help the children? Hey, you know what? He's so passive-aggressive. He goes, you know what? We can't help every cause. You probably do something else that's good. Maybe whatever you do, you don't have to help every cause. But I just want to make sure because I'm tallying it. I want to know how many people wanted to help the children and how many people didn't want to help the children.
So, look, yeah, you don't want to help children. That's totally cool. I get it. You know, you help people by buying really expensive suits. Now, that money could go to help a child, but it doesn't. It went for your suit.
All right, I'll buy it.
So, anyway, I wanted to thank you. And Graham's T-shirts are in the lobby. And so I wanted to say something about my mom who raised – Graham's website. Just Graham, go up to that mic over there at the DJ.
Oh, what? Oh, it's your wedding.
What's your website?
Oh, Todd, you don't have to do this at your wedding. I mean, you're making a. I feel bad. I mean, GrahamElwood.com, but whatever you guys want to do.
I want to say something to my 80
and ComedyFilmNerds.com. That's a great website for podcasts. And Todd asked me to do this. I didn't want to, but he wanted me to set up the merch table. So whatever, we're going to give some of the money to Todd.
Most people that know,
you know what I mean. And LAPodFest.com.
All right, there. How about a hand for all that, Graham Elwood and LA Podfest?
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. My Twitter handle at Graham Elwood. Facebook.com/GrahamElwood.
Everybody knows that I was adopted, and the story that I wanted to tell, they're only selling them for another 25 minutes. So if you want to get a T-shirt, go out now while Todd's making this speech.
That's what you're feeding me to say.
And buy a shirt while he's talking. Because when he's done his speech, there will be no more shit. Shirts. Shirts. Shit. Shitty shirts. Just shirts. I'm trying to make a joke.
I'm sure that's where your guy makes the joke. He goes through all this ridiculous merchandising at his wedding.
Then
he makes a joke.
So I wanted to introduce my mom, who wanted to sing. It's my mom and my stepdad. Graham.
Graham is the director who's trying in that scene because this is happening. This is what in real life we're playing it as a bit, but also it's in a movie.
Yeah.
And that was all the direction. While I was saying my stepdad, Graham is acting like he's fucking. Like it's obviously the director going, he's fucking your mom.
He's fucking your mom.
Yeah.
and my step.
And then the director goes, let's do it again.
Okay, one from the top.
Okay, so I want, so I just wanted to turn the mic over to my, my mom and my...
He's making the guy putting his hand on the woman's head. They're blowing. Or guy to guy, or girl to girl. Girls suck each other's cocks, and that's true. And that's true. And that is true. You know what? As much as I'm comedic, I don't mind parodying absurdity, but I don't know if I'm right on this or not, but I am going to get serious here for a second, and then we're going to go back to the bit. Who gives
whatever
a shit?
Whatever you want to do.
Some people go like, can you parody? I always thought you could. Some people might disagree with this, but why can you parody Nazi Germany? You know, the Holocaust. And I think it might be. This is my guess. Some people go, you shouldn't even be making fun of that. But I think for the people that would defend making fun of the Holocaust, it would be. I think we overall, as a sane society, get that that was. Words you can't use to describe the horrific.
It was so, yeah.
If you're sane, there's not that many.
Well, hold on.
No,
hold,
I know there's. Hold
no,
on.
No, no, wait. No, it no. didn't happen. So let's.
Right. I know there's those. But as a civilized society, most of us. So at least there's no discretion. Well, there are people, but I'm saying amongst us. No, if I was talking to a guy that was from Germany and part of that, no, I wouldn't make those jokes because he doesn't. But what I'm saying amongst us, I think. I know I'm going a little off, but I'm going to jump fucking back on and make a point. So you can parody it because it's not arguable. But when it comes to sometimes when I make acts, jokes, or bits where the man is in control, I start thinking about it. Or rape jokes, which I think, look, everything can be funny. I'm not talking about all rape jokes. Can there be a joke that's funny? Yes. Majority of them,
no.
Most people could go. That's why I said, before you make us debate your rape joke, think about it yourself. If you had to do it in front of a group of really good comedians, yes, there's always a joke. Someone would go, I hate to say it, but that joke is funnier than it is mean or whatever. But why I'm apprehensive about it, and I think most of them suck, and why? Well, why? It's you can parody this. Because we don't know as a society the horrific act that is. It's 20 minutes ago, and today we're still blaming women.
Well, it's
so right. So maybe we haven't earned the right to parody something that we still live in a society where a lot of people. Now, do some people get it? Yes. But there's a lot of fucking people that don't. Does that make any sense at all?
Yes, it does. Here's my thing on that. As a comedian, you're right. Funny is funny. If you write a legitimately funny joke, I'll give you credit. My problem overall, though, is this trend of, oh, I'm going to write the rape joke or the ironic racist joke or whatever. And it's like, that's all you're doing. Or like, you know, and it's like, so of all the people out there that deserve to be made fun of, so the banking industry, politicians, the BP oil executives, they all get a pass. But someone that was traumatized by assault or something, that's who we need to go after? Like, that's really?
Well, you know what happens, I realize, and look. I'll tell you one thing for sure, and I'm comfortable saying this then to move on with this conversation. A lot of times when people hear me talk about this, I think they're confused with the comedians that I like. I bet if there's a joke that I like about a topic, you might say it's rape or is it 9/11 or is it just some twisted, demented topic. A lot of times the person that tells the joke is the buffoon.
Right,
what I mean? They're like they're the buffoon, and a lot of look. Whether you love Sarah Silverman or whether you don't love Sarah Silverman, or whether you're in between about Sarah Silverman, I'm not talking about in the comedic community. I'm talking about someone else. There's a reason that she'll tell some ironic joke. And by the way, there's some jokes I bet she's told from 5 years ago. She went, I wouldn't do that today.
Right.
But the reason that they're funny is because a lot of times, and I hope I have clarity here, she's the buffoon in the joke.
Sure.
But anyway, my point is, so when people hear me say, which I'm agreeing with you. They think, oh, then Todd wouldn't like that comedian. No, you can have a twisted, demented fucking joke about everything. But we're talking about how many really fall under that category. And before you make someone else.
Some young hipster at an open, you know, like whatever. No.
Yeah.
I
did it. When my sister-in-law once said, like, give me an example of a rape joke. I swear to God, I was like, I couldn't think of anything. And then on stage one night, something was coming out of my mouth. And I went there and I went, no, you can do better than that. But but again, I really like to go down every time when talking about this stuff going, there's something can always be funny. It's just, what about what you're doing? Before you put it up in front of a panel, go inward yourself and go, that's not the, is that really?
And do I want to say, I mean, I don't know, like again, funny's funny, I get that, but And we've all, you know, I've said stuff that I knew was crazy offensive just because I was like, well, I'm going to go for the joke. Sure. But like this theme of like, that's my whole act, or that when comics, you know, like, oh, I'm too edgy for you. It's like,
do you know how you can tell if a joke's funnier than it is? By the way, this is my own phrase I use a lot. Funnier than it is mean. Funnier than it's prejudiced.
Right.
Funnier than it's homophobic. Funnier than it's sexist. There's every goddamn category can be funny. That everything. I don't give a fuck what it is. Everything can be funny.
Sure.
This discussion is what you do.
Right.
Like, there's not a blanket coverage. There is a blanket. I'm making a blanket rule that every subject can be funny. But I'm not saying now that, I mean, that means we don't just discredit your joke because the topic.
Right.
We're
right,
judging your
exactly.
joke on the quality of it. We're not just dismissing right. it because it's about this or it's about that sure. or it's about that. Now we're going, oh yeah, do whatever joke you want. Once you tell it, then we discuss it and we go, or we right. agree. So with that in mind, you know, it's just that, hold on, I lost my thought, but I want to get it back. Hold on. Yeah, no one's negating, you know, that.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't just blanket. You can't just say, oh, any joke about this subject matter is no good. It's off limits. It's offensive. That's not true. I don't believe that. Like you say, funny is funny. But just I think what happens is, you know, then like, I want to be this young upstart alterna comic or whatever. So I'm going to just intentionally say all these taboo subjects and offensive matter. And
I thought
like,
about it.
Okay.
If something is funnier than it is all those things, mean, funnier than prejudice, that whole list I went through, you usually, you know how you know you're laughing as opposed to going,
right.
So I have, if something makes me cackle, look, I could be wrong too, but this is my own thing that I'm coming up with. It was probably funnier. Now, that doesn't mean there would be people
right.
that would still think it was offensive. When I look at judging a joke, I'm not talking about putting it up to the average idiot. No, we're talking putting your joke up in front of – picture your joke, because I think a lot of people have defended. They think we're putting this joke up amongst a bunch of – you know, let's say a shitty audience. No, fuck a shitty audience. If something's funny, I don't give a shit if the audience laughs or not. You could be brilliant and an audience doesn't get it. I saw Jimmy Dore once make fun of teachers in a joke that used sarcasm, and he was totally defending teachers. And some teachers in the audience were like, no, you didn't fucking get the joke.
Right.
You
right.
fucking idiots.
Right.
It's a brilliant joke. So we're not talking about – we're talking about now being judged in front of an intelligent audience. May pretend that once in a while instead of going right to defensive. So we're saying it's not about if you write a joke and in hindsight you look and you go, yeah, it was better than that. That happens a lot. But at least put yourself up to don't just write it off because it didn't get a laugh that one night, because sometimes it doesn't get a laugh because it's, you know, an audience, for lack of a better word, is dumb. But if you don't think there's the other audience too, then you're always going to have you're just going to make excuses. What about in front of a brilliant audience? Would they like that joke? And if you're in front of a smart crowd and they go, ooh, I don't know, can't you ever blame? Can't you? This is a smart crowd. They've proven it all night. Look at what they've laughed at through the whole night. Look at the lineup of comedians. If you go up in front of that audience and you go, ooh, and you don't go, yeah, I should probably drop that joke out of my act, because that was a great audience, and if it was funny, they would have fucking laughed. They wouldn't have gone,
right.
We're like, ha, 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 ha. Because I've seen some twisted fucking jokes get cackled out of an audience. That's what happens, because it's so fucking funny. Right. Before they get a chance to think about it or whatever, just say, you burst out laughing. And I'm going to say, if you do a joke a few times and it doesn't get that, don't just hold on to it for some fucking pride. Hold on to certain shit. And out of respect to holding on certain shit, because your pride, part of giving the shit that you hold on to legitimacy means sometimes you dump shit. You go, yeah, that was just that was just mean to be mean.
It was mean to be mean, or I couldn't. I just did Will Anderson's podcast, and I was asked this, you know, about what skill do I wish I was better at, and I was like, writing political stuff. I have some political stuff in my act because I don't know how to make it funny. I just get too angry, as you heard on the last episode. I get too wound up. I get too pissed off, and it's hard for me to make it funny, especially since most of my act is silly. It's hard. Audiences get like, huh? Like, the political stuff I have been able, like, I've written a new joke about gay marriage and the people who are opposed to it, because I make them silly and big and ridiculous, which fits my whole act. But when I just am like being silly, but grand palm strike, and then I'm like, you goddamn cocksucker, fucking, you're wrong. Everyone's like, well, that's not funny. You're just yelling. And
you know what, though? I first of all, for comedians that don't want to say anything socially, my point is never that someone should be on the right side of a social issue. They might not want to deal with it at all.
Don't.
That I'm fine. But I'm just saying, if you're dealing with it, try to be on the right side of it.
Well, and also too, like I said, like if you're going to go, if your whole act, I'm going to go after people that deserve to be taken down a peg. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, believe me, I make fun of people's – look, there's always loopholes in everything. I'm always so – you know. But this is a good rule at the guts of it. Make fun of the choices people make, not who they are.
Right.
Because, you know, so make fun of the choices they make. Mm-hmm. And there's some loopholes in that too, because I don't believe I dropped heavy fat jokes out of my act. Now, some people go, that's a choice they make. Mm. Yes, I get it, a level there is, but also I can still have empathy. Everyone – I always say, but to have – empathy for people that are heavy, think of what you do. It might not be food, but think of something you do that maybe no one even knows about. No one knows about it, but it's short-term gratification for long-term horror. Something you do, maybe it's not smoking, maybe it hasn't been drugs, maybe you cheat on your significant other, and it's ruining it. And no one knows about that. It might not make your face, but think of something you do, and you're not stupid, that logic tells you it's dumb, but you do it. That's how you have empathy mm-hmm. for heavy people. So I choose not to make jokes about heavy people that every fucking idiot has made their whole life. Have I? Of course I have.
Sure.
And then I go, I can evolve. I'm not going to do something in my act and then hold on to it for dear life just because if I drop it, it admits that I'm evolving.
Right. You know, so true. You know, like, I know what my act is. I'm not the second coming of Lenny Bruce. You know, I'm very proud of what I do. A lot of my stuff is silly. I try to have some points, some social commentary in there when I can. When there's something that I can make funny and I hey, look, I got dick jokes. I got, you know what I mean? I got masturbation jokes. I got going to strip club jokes. Sure, we all got that stuff. But I
by the way, I got to interject real quick. No one's negating that. To me, my problem is just people that talk about social issues and they're dead wrong. No one's negating, like Steve Martin, for instance, was brilliant. Rodney Dangerfield, brilliant. All those guys that
never did politics.
That doesn't upset when you watch Rodney, because what's upsetting is to watch someone that battles it and is taking on the overachiever
the person that's like, oh, I'm going to do a dead baby joke, and then a woman in the audience came up and was really offended by that, and I was like, sorry. Well,
right.
That's like, why are you going after her? Like, if you're going to. You know, if you're going to be this caustic guy, why not get caustic about some shit that matters?
Yeah, look, you know why? I'll tell you why. Because that's a road. Now, by the way, we're talking about with and by the way, there's I am going to preface here like I do everything else. There are so many comedians that I'm in awe of and I admire and I talk positively about. We're talking about a group of comedians that it's one thing if you're silly and you're a bad comedian or you're, you know, whatever, you're prop act or whatever. You do something. I don't want to say that. I take that back because it doesn't matter. What I mean is just because you don't take on social issues, we're not saying you do. We're making fun of people that take them on. And it's a lot harder to watch someone that's on the wrong side of a social view be ignorant than maybe they just got a shitty act. But like when you're watching somebody that's, you know, on the wrong side of an issue. And by the way, to me, what's worse, I'm almost done. Is when you find out they don't believe it, when they make a joke on stage that they don't believe. And you go, why do you do that if you don't believe it? And they act like there's boundaries put on comedy. If you say a joke on stage that perpetuates a stereotype or ignorance and you don't believe it from your heart, you talk about you put your own boundary on. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. You have a thought inside.
Right.
You have a thought inside and it's a reasonable – let's say you're being honest. Oh, I don't really believe that. I just do it on stage. It's a joke. That's to me that the hypothetical situation I set up to show the monstrosity of a boundary you're putting on yourself is you have a thought, you're claiming it's intelligent in your head, but you and someone goes, yeah, I'm going to go on stage tonight. You're going to talk about what you thought? No, I just make a stereotypical joke. Why? Is there a law at that comedy club? No, you allow comedy, you can talk whatever you want. And then you go on stage and make a stereotypical joke. And I'll tell you why most comedians do it, It's because that's written already. For you to maybe talk about what's in your heart, if that's true, that you got to. So you go on stage for a cheap laugh. You know why? Not realizing the damage it does. Like I said, it doesn't have to be fuck queers or fuck. It can be playing on a stereotype that's not helping. If you believe in your heart something else, you could go up there and make a joke defending what you believe. Like why can't there, like you're saying, if you go up there, you know, and you're on the right side of things, and it's so much comedy. It's an powerful tool.
It really isn't. And the other thing too is like, well, like on Twitter or Facebook, you know, and some horrible event happens in the news, and people are making jokes, and it's like, and their attitude is like, ha ha, hey man, I'm a comic, I have to say something snarky. No, you don't. You can't even have a real moment. You can't even go, man, this is horrible, this thing that happened. You know what I mean? Like, everything doesn't have to be snarkiness.
And again, I'm going to preface this. Me and you are not talking that there haven't been things written that are fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
We're just
hilarious.
Saying, don't, I'm going to repeat it again. If it's a tweet, by the way, you know, the great thing about our conversation is we're not saying that there should be any guidelines or bans on anything people tweet. And I repeat this every time I say it. I'll tell you why. Because you got to say what I'm saying now right next to what I'm saying. Because people might not have heard me say it three podcasts ago. So you got to, every time we talk this conversation, I got to say this. We are not saying there should be a ban. What should comedians be able to talk about? Comedians should talk about whatever they want, whether I think it's good or whether I think it's bad. There should say whatever you fucking want. I don't care if I think it's atrocious. There should be no rule about what someone should talk about. You talk about whatever you fucking want when you're a comic, and don't let anyone tell you different. Now that you are allowed to talk about it, and I would fight for you to be able to talk about it, I'm allowed to judge it.
Yeah.
So when it comes out of your mouth and I judge it, don't act like, because you know why? It's easier for you to go, oh, you can't say anything anymore. No one said you shouldn't be able to.
That drives me nuts.
No, that's a fake argument, because the real argument, right, you'd have to discuss your joke. I don't want to discuss you having the right to say it. I already said you should be able to say it. Now you said it. We're not. Stop it. No one. We're talking about your joke. We're not denying you the right to say it.
That's what drives me nuts. People think the First Amendment doesn't say you have the freedom of speech without any repercussions. You don't get to say whatever you want and then everyone just goes, thank you. Freedom of speech means I can say whatever I want.
Right.
And you can say whatever you want.
Right.
That's what it means. That's what people are like, oh, you can't say anything anymore.
Because
no, why?
Because, like I said, the other way would mean if they really dealt with what was really going on, here's what would be in their head. Well, that person isn't negating I should be able to say it. They're saying that I said it. Now they just want to talk about it. And then they'd have to discuss their joke, which has no legs.
Right, right.
It's easier to go to the fake, because you know what? I picture you're telling some friends, yeah, last night I did a tweet and everyone thought, oh, you shouldn't be able to tweet that. Because the audience that's going, no, that's not what we said. You tweeted it. We're just discussing that it was meaner than it was funny, or it was this. And by the way, people go, there's going to be jokes that I think are funny and someone else thinks are offensive. Right. I get it. But we're talking about at least give it your best shot before you tweet it or say it on stage. You go, is this my best work, or am I trying, or could this, you know? And sometimes you'll say something.
And people are going to respond to you. I thought long and hard about that, the gun thing after the Zimmerman trial, about, and I was like, because I know people are going to disagree with me. I'll probably get some reasonable disagreements, and I'm going to get a wingnut threatening me, and sure enough, I did. But I knew that going in, that especially with the gun issue, there's people who are pro-gun, not all of them, who are crazy and dangerous. That's why they own guns, is deep down they hope society collapses so they get to kill people. And I'm not, and then, oh, that's a handful. No. There's a lot of people who think that way. Anyway.
Don't apologize.
For your friends and my friends and my friends and your friends, so long we get together, happy we'll be.
So I want to thank you all for coming out to my wedding. Graham Elwood's daughter, hey Graham.
Hey.
Wants to sing a song, and we thought it'd be nice to let her come out on the stage.
Yeah.
We thought it would be nice to let her come out on this t-shirt. Graham Elwood's t-shirts, My Little Princess, watch her sing and dance. They're available in the lobby after. And they take cash and credit cards.
We paint the worst picture of weddings. Why are you at my wedding doing this?
Boy, this is horrible.
It's great. Hold on.
All right. So, what's your daughter's name for this bit?
Annabelle.
So Annabelle's gonna come up here and sing. Annabelle, come on up here.
You're the lady.
Same bit.
Annabelle's got a deep voice.
That's okay. Annabelle's gonna come up here and sing. So Annabelle, come on up here.
What's everyone in the wedding doing? Sitting at their round tables.
propping up fake smiles.
They're still probably enjoying it a little,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, it's cute.
Oh, this is great. She's adorable.
Everyone applauds. All righty.
Oh.
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 Okay.
All righty. How about a hand for Grant? What's your daughter's name?
Annabelle.
How about a hand for Annabelle, everybody? Yeah.
Great,
everybody, let her hear it.
All right.
Thanks, honey.
All righty.
All right, there you go.
All right.
All right, shut her mic off.
All right, so I just want to thank everybody for coming out and raising your hands. Yes?
I'd like to sing.
Oh, you want to sing a song for me?
Yeah, I did it at my church.
All right, well, come on up here. What is your name?
Steven.
Oh, your wife's up here, too. What is your wife's name? Let your wife have the mic.
Yeah, hi, I'm Geraldine.
Well, hello. You sing with your husband?
Yeah, I play the piano.
And who are the two little ones next to you? Let them talk. Give the little
Hi, I'm Rico.
And give them the little one.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys want to sing some
right,
stuff
so
at a wedding?
Here you go. Is there a name of your group?
The Jesters.
The Jesters, everybody.
Worst wedding ever.
What a journey we go on. How long has this part of the show been, the part two this week? You know, it's all right, Aristotle, and that's the last time we ever used him.
Oh, it's time to get Socrates.
It's been a little over an hour.
How long are your shows normally?
Well, I say, you know, I'm not happy unless I hit an hour and a half usually. Hey.
I love when you ask a guy a regular question and then just get all stupid with the
red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue. I can sing a rainbow, sing a rainbow too. Listen with your eyes, listen with your eyes, and sing everything you see. Now you can sing.
You're listening to the Todd Glass Show.
Alrighty, Graham. I made a live PSA right there.
Nice.
Well, it's we go in for the close. We go in for the close. Is there anything you want to plug?
We're going in for the close.
this? What is this? Run, Nick. Can you handle it, Nick? Nick said he likes this bit. We're going to try to kill him. We have 80 versions of this song. Play another one. Well, hold on. Shut the music off. Shut the music off. We got Libby on the phone. Hold on 1 second. So we're going to take a call from Libby. We're going to come back, and we're going to reminisce about the night, and that's how we go into the sunset tonight. Libby,
are you there? Oh, we're
calling her? Oh, we're going to call her. Okay, we're calling her. Let it ring. Sometimes it takes her a while. I don't give up on her. Phone's ringing in her apartment. Have you been to her house? How big's her house?
It's like it's a small one bedroom.
It's an efficiency, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty small.
All right. Okay. We're calling Libby. If you're a fan of the show, you know who Libby is.
And I thought I guess her voice machine broke, or?
And we're calling Libby. Let's give it a few more times before we give up on her. Hold on. I know I shouldn't hold on anymore, but I feel like sometimes she does. This is a little longer than usual, but sometimes it does take her a while.
Maybe she's in the bathroom or something.
Just let it ring five more times, and then I promise we'll have to call her next week.
Yeah, she's probably not there.
Hang up and call her back again. Hang up. Call her back again. Hello?
Yeah. How you doing?
Oh, who is this?
Oh, that's Lana. Hey, Todd, is that you? Hey.
Oh.
By the way, I'm obviously not happy he's there.
Hey, Lionel, how you doing?
Hey, you know, Todd,
hear the phone ringing?
Yeah, I heard it ringing. We were busy in the other room.
Were you busy?
I have to know, even though I'm grossed out. See, Lionel and Libby are dating. And by the way, you need to be very clear with this. It's consensual.
Oh, yeah.
Although he does love her.
Yeah, he does.
But it's still pleading. There's a difference when someone's depleting all your savings, purposely manipulating you. No, he really wants her to be a part of it. He's not doing it in a malicious way. But guess what? He's still fucking depleting. He's still depleting her funds, you know, even though he wants so bad for them to own a successful jazz club.
Right.
So when he answers that phone, hey, so anyway, Lionel,
How you doing, Lionel?
I'm good, Todd. You know, yeah, we was in the other room. I kind of heard the phone, but it was busy. So we
busy doing what?
Oh, you know what I mean.
All right. Well, is Libby there, Lionel?
Yeah. She's just getting herself together. You know what I mean? We got to get on down to the jazz club.
Oh, you still got the jazz
club?
Yeah,
right off the 710 freeway in Long Beach. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to come down there. You know what I mean? We got to get you down.
How much have you guys put into that place?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we put a lot of money. We remodeled that thing. We put a new sound system. We put video screens in there. Come down. What does
Libby do there?
What does Libby? Oh, she manages the bar. You know what I mean? She gets all the food orders, deals with the distributors, everything. I mean, that woman is a powerful force. You know what I mean? I mean, she's been taking care of everything, and that's what I'm talking about. And you got to come down. We're doing a jazz brunch. You know what I mean? Get down there, get yourself, and we're going to listen
to you. All right. Can you get Libby?
Well, let me find. All right. Hey, baby, get on the phone. Todd calling. I don't know a Rod. No, baby, Todd. Oh!
By the way, I know it sucks, but I actually
don't mind feeding you this, and then I'll enjoy it anyway. Say, oh, is that who the phone was ringing for that many times? After all that, she heard it.
Yeah, is she there?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, baby, Todd's on the phone. Oh, is that who was calling when it kept ringing all those times?
Hi, Libby. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm good, sweetie. How are you?
Fine. Hey, what's going on with you and Lionel?
Oh, we're just, you know, we were just enjoying each other in a physical way.
All right. What's going on with the hey, I want to get together with you this week, and I want to just do some fun. Look, you're on my podcast right now. I should tell you that.
Oh, what channel is it on? Can we? Lionel, turn on the podcast channel.
I don't know.
What number is that? What channel number is that? Todd, what number is the channel?
Audience, now we're going to listen to them argue. Not argue, but a couple bigger. Watch, they don't even know we're on the phone anymore.
Todd, what is the number?
It's a podcast.
Find the podcast. Hey, baby, I don't know. You need to give me a number. The DirecTV, you got to punch in a number.
Hello? They don't hear me.
I know. See, this is why I said
Hello?
I wanted to get cable. I don't like the satellites. They're too difficult.
It's not. You can't get it on a channel.
Baby, I'm not going to get into the DirecTV. All right? You know what I mean? My brother-in-law worked for DirecTV. We're getting a deal.
Hello?
I don't want to hear any more about it. I told you.
Can you guys hear me?
Can I just wanted to have a normal television.
Here.
All right. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this right now. Just, I'll find the channel. All right. Hello, Todd. When do I get to see you? It's been so long.
You name the place. We'll go have lunch together.
Anywhere. You name it, kiddo.
I'd rather you start, because whenever I start, you don't like my suggestions.
Oh, I love every place you've ever taken to me, except the one Chinese place. The red lamps really kind of hurt my eyes a little bit.
Like that place, they don't have the red lamps anymore, so can we go there?
Oh, yeah. What time do we...
How about 1 o'clock tomorrow?
1 o'clock's not good. The dim,
2 o'clock?
The dim, 2 is weird. The dim sum gets noodly.
If I was...
In all due respect, that fucking podcast should have ended right there, but I'm still in the mood for a little bit more as we go in for the close. The dim sum. She's got a fucking reason. I know what she means. It's probably in the steamer a little longer. And it gets noodly. She's not wrong.
No.
Like, I've never had noodly dim sum, but I would imagine in her head, maybe towards the end of the day, it gets noodly.
Yeah.
Rubbery.
She needs the dim sum to be like right at noon or whatever.
Right, when
like,
it's just coming out and it's just, yeah. still got just, yeah. you know.
Steam.
By the way, do you ever eat dim sum?
It's been a while.
You could eat vegetable dim sum.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love dim sum.
You know what? I feel bad when they bring their cart by and I don't want anything. To George Carlin, I once bought something I didn't want because I felt bad for the lady. No one was buying her thing. It was horrible. I said, they got to give her another. I asked her, do you guys get to switch dishes? Because, you know, it's not fair if somebody's got, like, the thing that has the, shrimp in it and a ball and it's delicious. And then the other girl's got the fucking Jell-O dessert.
Yeah.
Fucking, it fucking, you know, it just fucking sands away at your self-esteem. They got the girl with the Jell-O, you know, those desserts. They don't know. They have an expert. They have a hard time with desserts. You know who else has a hard time with desserts? And I don't know if it's a cultural what you crave is what you grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be those flavors or what you. But like I go to the Mexican supermarket. That's what we call it in my neighborhood, and they have their cookies and stuff, and they look so good. They're horrible.
Yeah,
they're dry. I still eat them, but I'm not going to not eat it just because I don't like it. It'll do while
asshole.
Walking around. I love to eat when I walk around the supermarket. It's all I live for.
Cookie crunch.
Pussy.
What?
I like cookie crunch. All right. Well, why don't we bring in something as we go in for the close here? And you have something nice like... Oh, that's the trolley from Mr. Rogers. And it wanted to tell you about the podcast festival. Well, what else? Do you understand what he's saying?
Yeah.
What is he saying? Say. Go.
Oh, he's saying Los Angeles Podcast Festival. You're going to be doing your show there. October 4th through the 6th at the Sheraton Delfina in Santa Monica.
You really understand what he's saying? All right.
If you want to get information on tickets and discounted hotel rooms, you go to lapodfest.com.
Okay. Anything else?
You don't need to use that kind of language, trolley.
No. The trolley never curses because it's from Mr. Rogers. I have a weird set of rules about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I say pussy, though. I just don't like...
So I guess when the trolley said he wanted to titty fuck me, that was like a good thing.
Maybe we should stop.
bring in something like Welcome to My World, and as we say goodnight to everybody. Graham, so much fun.
I love doing this whenever you
and,
all want me.
Aristotle, you're nothing but a treat. Young Jake Adams, thank you. You know, Chris did that board for a long time, and Chris, we miss you. You're great. Chris Burden out in Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
He delivers pizzas and then sometimes he fucks for tip money.
Suck it, Chris.
Yeah, it proves how easy your job was.
Mr. Big Mouth over here.
Jakey gets a compliment, thinks he owns the goddamn television show.
And I don't think that, television. Chris, because I know you might listen. So don't.
I might be headlining out the Punchline in Atlanta.
That's a fun. Oh, the Punchline in Atlanta. Punchline in Atlanta. What That's else is in Atlanta? Oh, there's the Punchline and then the Laughing Skull.
Yeah,
and then there's an improv there too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done Laughing Skull. I like it.
Me too. I love it all. You know, I love this world we live in. I love this world. Welcome to my world. As we go to close. Well, everybody, what a week. Bring it down. Well, I want to thank my guest, Graham. I want to thank my guest, Graham Elwood, and sitting next to me. Thanks for doing the music tonight over there, Young Jake Adams, Graham Elwood. What a night, right,
thank
Graham?
Thank you. So I had such a great time.
I always like to reminisce about the night, and that's how we go to close. What a fun time we had together, right?
It's good times.
Oh, these are good times. We don't have to sing the song. I just like the music.
Yeah.
I don't know how to close, so the music seems to help me.
Yeah, the music.
Do you want to try?
Well,
a little reverb?
I don't know if I was going to really step into my heart. Leave your cares behind.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in and having a good time with us.
Well, Todd, you know, I just want to knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you will find.
Yeah. Ask and you will be given.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
The key to this heart of mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you this, when we get together every week and we have a joyous time together and we cherish each other and we soak in the silliness, that's right, that's what we do.
And we're waiting just for you.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome to my world. Well, welcome to my world.
Good night.
Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.